I appreciate the good singing today, and the song that we just sung has been one of my favorite songs, honestly. It's true that things are not always as they appear to be. And for those that were present there that day, I'm sure that there were many that when they looked at the Lord Jesus hanging on a cross, beaten, bruised, battered, bleeding, I doubt that many of them looked at him and thought, well, look at him, he's really winning the battle. But he was, wasn't he? Things are not always as they appear. I'm thankful for the victory that the Lord won. Thankful to have part in that. Thankful for the victory down in my soul that came through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share some scripture with you today from Psalm 36. If you would like to read with me, please turn there. And we're going to begin reading there with the first verse of Psalm 36. I want to say to you that are here today that are not saved, last week I said that there was still, that God could still save you before the year ended. And God has been gracious. He has brought in a new year. You know, Brother Wheat spoke extensively in the Sunday school lesson this morning about eternity and about time. And I, lost friend, I assure you that God is in control of time. He created it. It's in his power to continue it. And he'll one day stop it. And you and I don't have any time other than what the Lord allows us. That's all we have. We don't own time, or we don't control time. God does. And he is able, he has given us a new year, and this is our first service in 08, and the Lord can save you here today. And so my heart goes out to you that are not saved. Psalm 36, beginning with verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked, remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. That's reading for a reading lesson today, the 12 verses that make up Psalm 36. I want to use this for a title today. I want to ask you to really consider this thought with me this morning, and you'll have to do as I've had to do. We'll have to all do this in our own hearts. But I want to use a question today for a title, and that is, do you really trust God? Think about that. Do you really trust God? I'm afraid today that we're oftentimes too guilty of saying things more than we are practicing things. I believe the old saying that action speaks louder than words. I believe that. I believe the things that we do are a greater testimony than the things that we say. And I am persuaded that all too often that we may say that we trust the Lord when really in reality we don't. So this is the thought that the Lord has given me today. This will be my first message here in the new year, and I certainly ask an interest in your prayers as always. But I want you to think about and ponder that question with me in your heart today. Do I really trust in the Lord? You know, there are many great promises in the Scriptures given to those that will do that. God will bless those greatly that will really put their trust in Him. In the seventh verse here that I read, the psalmist said, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Trust is something that Webster defined as a firm belief in the honesty or in the reliability of someone. In order to trust someone, you would have to be able to feel that you could rely upon that person. You would have to feel that that person that you were placing your trust in was a person of honesty, integrity, high morals. And that's the way that it is defined in the dictionary, as a firm belief in someone that is honest or someone that is reliable. Now, of course, we know that God is that above everybody. Nobody is like God. Nobody is equal to God. There's nobody that you can compare to God. Nobody has the ethics that God has. Nobody has the morality that God has. Nobody is as trustworthy as the Lord. And so, therefore, when we think about trusting the Lord, the 118th Psalm in verses 8 and 9 tell us that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. But I want to ask you today, have you done this in your life? I can ask you this today. I've asked myself this. Do you oftentimes in your life have something that is troubling you, something that is a great burden to you, that is bothersome to you, and you resolve to take it to the Lord and to lay it down at His feet and to give it to the Lord? You know, the Bible says for us to cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us. To cast them, to throw them, the way that you cast a fishing line or you cast a net. That's what that word meant. Take your cares and cast them upon the Lord. Throw them off onto the Lord because He cares enough for us to have us do that. To take our burdens, to take our cares and just throw them or cast them on Him. But how many times, if you are honest with yourself, how many times have you done that and resolved to take something to the Lord and to leave it with Him? As the song says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And you go to the Lord with that intent, but before you know it, not much more than when you've gotten up off your knees, you've picked it up again. You've taken it again. You know, you really didn't leave it with the Lord. You may have gone there with that intention and with that resolve to do that very thing, but before you know it, those chains that you were dragging and carrying around that you went there to lay down before the Lord, the next thing you know, you're dragging them around again and you really haven't got rid of it at all. You ever been guilty of that? I have. I confess it, I certainly have. The Lord wants us to bring those things to Him and He wants us to lay them down before Him. And He wants us to leave those things with Him and trust Him to take care of it. And you know, if we bring our burdens in that way to the Lord and we place them there and we don't leave them there, we take them up again and we fret about them and we worry about them, then we really haven't placed our trust in the Lord, have we? I tried to think as I studied this, I tried to think about different little parables, different little analogies. Truly trusting somebody. And let me say this to you that are here today that are lost. Let me just interject this right here. You know, before you get saved, you are going to trust the Lord. If you don't place your trust in the Lord, you are never going to find Him precious to your soul. You are going to have to trust Him with everything. With all of your heart, you're going to have to trust the Lord in order to save you. You know, it's a hard distinction for me between faith and trust. I mean, to me, it's hard to draw that fine line of distinction there. But if I were to try, I would say that faith is believing in something. Faith in God, perhaps believing that God is capable of doing something and trusting Him being that He is capable, or rather that He will do it. We believe, you know, we can believe that God is capable of doing something without trusting Him to do it. And you're going to have to, lost friend, you're going to have to come to the Lord not only believing that He can save your soul, but you're going to have to come to Him trusting that He will save you. And I hope and pray that you'll do that today. Today is the day of salvation. And so, when I tried to think about those things, I thought about things from the level of human trust. if you were going to go somewhere with me, and I was driving, and before we departed on the trip, if someone came to you and said, do you feel like you're safe? And you said, yes, I do. I trust Brother Miller's driving. I think he's a good driver. I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to ride with him, and I trust him. Now, if you said that and you got in the car with me and I started up the car, and as soon as I pulled out on the road and started the trip, if you would tell me when we get there. I mean, think about it. If you were scared, if you were apprehensive, if you had to cover your eyes up, you know, if you couldn't stand to watch me drive down the road with the other cars, do you really trust? Think about it. I believe the person that truly said that they trusted my driving would be able to sit back and perhaps turn on the radio and listen to some music and relax and enjoy the journey if you really trusted me to get you there safely. I thought about if I said, Brother Strode is very good in financial matters. He's very wise about investments, and I am going to get advice from him, and however he tells me that I should invest my money, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invest it in the way that he tells me I should invest it. And you know, if I did that, and on the way home, my wife said, do you think this is a good idea? If I said, well, sure, I trust Brother Strode, but we better check and make sure we got enough money in the mattress because we're bound to go broke. That doesn't make sense, does it? Those are contradictory to each other. I mean, that is not trust. And the point that I'm trying to make is the Lord wants us to trust him. And when we go to the Lord and when we take things to the Lord, if we are really placing our trust in the Lord to take care of those things, then we are going to take those things to him, and we are going to cast those cares before him, and we are going to leave those things with him. And it will ease our mind about those things if we really trust in the Lord, because if we continue to worry, if we continue to be anxious, if we continue to think, I don't know how this is going to turn out, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, then we really haven't turned things over to the Lord, and our trust is not in him. How do you think that person would feel? How do you think that I would feel going back to the situation of you riding with me? How do you think that I would feel if you told me just before we started on the trip, if you said, Brother Miller, I think you're a good driver and I trust your driving and I just believe you're going to get us there safely. And then you got in the car and you covered your eyes and couldn't stand to look and you were scared to death. How do you think that would make me feel? Do you think I'd feel confident? How do you think the Lord feels when we bring our burdens to the Lord and we pray to the Lord? How do you think the Lord feels when we take them right up again and we fret about them and we worry about them? The Lord, he knows our heart. He knows our heart. He knows what's going on inside of us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows what we're feeling. He knows what we're thinking. And how do you think he feels when we say, Lord, I'm trusting you for this, but yet we are worried to death about how the what the outcome is going to be? Don't you think that the Lord is able to see and to know that we really are not placing our trust in him? Sure he is. Do you know what it takes? There is one element that is present in both worry and prayer. Energy. It takes energy to do both of those things, doesn't it? And you and I, we can worry about things and we can be anxious about things and we can fret about things from now until the day that we die. And you know, I have never seen that change anything. Have you? Have you ever seen worrying about something? Have you ever seen worry make things better? Have you ever seen just a continual fretting over something make it better? Have you ever seen that produce a change and make things better? I never have. But I'll tell you what I have seen things get better when people took them to the Lord and laid them down at his feet and trusted him. Sometimes I believe collectively, as the church, sometimes I think that we fail to trust the Lord. I think that we fail to really, sometimes I'm afraid that we don't get beyond that point of just believing that God is capable of doing something and never reaching the point that we trust that God will do that, that God will take care of that. I want to share some scriptures with you about trust. One of them is in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. I made note of these. I thought they gave beautiful definitions. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. He is a shield. That's what a buckler is. It's a shield. It's a protector. God is a buckler. He is a shield to all them that trust in him. In Psalm 125, verse 1, it says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. James said an unstable or a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But the psalmist here said, there's great stability in those that trust in the Lord. Those that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. I'll tell you what, friends, listen. You find a person in this world that really, truly, honestly puts their trust in the Lord. I'm not talking about somebody that just says they trust the Lord. I'm talking about someone that really gives things over to the Lord and trusts the Lord to take care of things. You find that type of person and you will find somebody that cannot be shaken. They'll be like Mount Zion. I mean, they'll be a rock. They'll be solid. They'll be stable. There'll be somebody that cannot be moved. You find a church that, listen, when we really put our trust in the Lord, there is nothing that will shake us. There is nothing that will move us if we truly cling to the Lord. And I know today, I'm just reminding you today. I realize today that I'm not teaching anything new. I know this church already knows this and has already experienced this through the years. Folks, listen, when we really cling to the Lord, when we really trust the Lord to take care of things, there are not enough devils and demons in the spiritual world of darkness to defeat us. There's not enough to move us. You really trust in the Lord, and you're going to be solid, and you're going to be stable. But if we try to go to the Lord, and then we take our burdens again, and we worry about them, and we go, and we try to work everything out ourselves, there's no stability in that. That scripture, I believe, about a double-minded man being unstable in all his ways, covers a broad spectrum. Faith, trust, reliance upon the Lord. Job trusted the Lord. He resolved to trust in the Lord to the point that you read in Job chapter 13, verse 15. Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. The Hebrew children trusted the Lord to the point that they said to Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to speak against God. We'll just go into the fire because our God can deliver us. But if it's not His will to do it, we still are not going to bow to your idol. We're going to hang on to the Lord. We're going to put our trust in the Lord. No matter what the outcome is, we're going to put our trust in the Lord, and we're going to let the Lord take care of things the way that He wants to take care of things. Friends, that's faith. I'll tell you what, faith, in my estimation, that's a great example of faith, perhaps one of the greatest examples that we have in the Scriptures. Faith is not always just looking to the Lord and believing that God will do everything the way that you ask Him to do it. Faith is looking to the Lord, taking our cares to God and placing them before Him and trusting the Lord to do with us what is best. We don't always know, do we? If we're really going to trust in the Lord, we're going to have to give way to His will. We're going to have to let the Lord take control and do the things that He knows are best. God knows what's best for His people. He knows it more than we know it. I guarantee you one thing today, God knows what's better for this church more than your pastor and your deacons do. I believe God can use us, and I believe God can lead us and help us to be the leaders of the church that we ought to be. But I'll tell you what, if you have leaders in your church, if you've got pastors and deacons in your church that are not looking to the Lord for the answers, then you got problems in your church. You got big troubles in your church if they're not looking to the Lord and trusting Him for His leadership and His guidance. Trust, a firm belief in the honesty or reliability of the one that you're looking to. If you had ridden with me before in my car And from the moment you got in, I ran into telephone poles and other cars and fences. You wouldn't put much reliance in me, would you? You wouldn't really be able to trust me. But you know something? It shouldn't be any problem for us to trust the Lord, should it? I mean, who today here would stand up? I'm not worried about this. I mean, I'm not worried about issuing the challenge. Who today would stand up here among us and say that the Lord has ever failed you in anything? He's never failed me at all. I mean, there's nobody that you can rely on like the Lord. That's why the psalmist said it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. God is the most reliable of all. God has, you know, I have failed the Lord many times, I'm sure. There have been people that have failed me. I have failed other people, but I can say one thing today with all honesty and all sincerity. God has never failed me. God has never let me down. God has never discouraged me. God has never disappointed me in anything that I have asked of Him. Never has He disappointed me. Not one time. Shouldn't be any problem for us to trust the Lord, should it? But it seems oftentimes that it is. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The people of God were warned. James, in his writing, warned them not to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of things around us, isn't there? A lot of evil around us. There's a lot of people that the devil will try to use, I guarantee you that. You know what? Satan would be real happy. In the year 2008, Satan would be real happy to see Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church forsake the truth of God, wouldn't he? He'd be real happy to see this church stop preaching the gospel. He'd be real happy to see us stop having those spiritual services like we've had. The service like we had last week when people just lost control. You know, if there was anybody here last week that didn't understand what happened, let me explain it to you. The Spirit of God came in and just took control of the service. That's what happened. The devil would love to see those things stop. But I'll tell you what, if we trust in the Lord and we cling to Him, we're not going to be tossed about. We're not going to be shaken by the winds that are blowing around us. We're going to be as Mount Zion. We're going to be solid and we're going to abide. But we'll only do it by trusting in the Lord. You begin to put your confidence in man more than you do your trust in the Lord, and you're going to get let down. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be discouraged. But you hang on to the Lord. He won't ever let you down. I pray that we will be able to really take things to the Lord and leave them there and trust Him to take care of the things that we bring to Him. I want to say this, and we're going to have a verse or two of a song. if you're here today and you're not saved, the Bible has commanded all men, the Lord has commanded all men everywhere to repent. We read that in the Holy Bible, that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You're going to have to do that in order to be saved. But he has also said that you're going to have to believe, you're going to have to trust him with all of your heart. Proverbs chapter 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Those of you that have visited the altar here from time to time, that haven't been saved or not satisfied, I want to say this to you today to try to help you. If you're up here trying to work everything out in your mind, you're going to stay confused. It's not going to happen that way. If you're trying to settle everything in your mind, if you're trying to work it out with yourself, it's not going to happen that way. You're going to have to give it to the Lord and trust him. Give it to the Lord and place your trust in him, and then you'll be saved or you'll be satisfied. Whatever that your situation is, if you're lost or if you're confused about where you stand with the Lord, whatever it is, you're going to have to give it to the Lord and trust him to give you what you need before you'll have it. And with that in mind, I'd like for us to stand and sing. And I hope today that you will be able to come and to put your trust in the Lord. Trust in him with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Just acknowledge him and let him direct your path while we stand and sing.
114.
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare.